Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Living and Thriving with Rusty.
Good morning, good evening, good afternoon to all my blessed beloveds out there in radio land. You're listening to Living and Thriving with Rusty. And guess what? I'm Rusty. I just had a terrific day with my rental Michaela and my daughter Chloe at the gluten and allergen-free wellness event in downtown Hartford, Connecticut. I got to speak as well as eat, as well as sing, as well as dance, as well as make jokes and, you know, just watch a whole bunch of people in glee that they had hundreds of products. Okay, not hundreds, but close enough. Delectable, delightful, and delicious food. And Bakery on the Main was a sponsor, and I just, kudos to them. There were so many delicious foods there, and I finally was able to meet several individuals who I have been in contact with over the years. But unfortunately, I have never physically actually met. So that was really, really quite inspiring, and I got a lot of hugs, which is exactly what I love about everything. Thank you so much, Jenna Drew and No Gluten Drew, and Susan and Nikki and Aaron and all kinds of other people. I could list you off, but it would take the whole entire show. Today, I have Chris Sprague. He's an author and a speaker. He's an international transformation and empowerment ambassador. And he's going to be dialing in shortly. It looks like he tried to dial in, but maybe lost connection. The number here is 347-205-9443. And I'm just going to give you a little bit of warning. I am on the road back from Hartford, Connecticut. So you might hear my GPS go off. You might hear the wind blowing a little bit. So I do apologize for the sound quality, but that's just the way the ball rolls. Or it's actually in the middle of next month, I will be in Jacksonville, Florida. Yes, Jacksonville, Florida. Speaking also at the Jacksonville Gluten and Allergy Free Wellness Event. And as always, looking for raffle items to auction off during my fabulous speech on coping with food allergies and how to have a good time. So feel free to ping me at rustymacdonald.com and maybe we can make that happen for some really wonderful and well-deserving, underserved population. Let's see, I think
Hi, Rusty. Yep, it's Chris. I think I'm having some phone difficulties tonight. I don't know if you can hear me okay.
I think it's just fine. Hello? Well, it looks like you're there. Okay.
Yep,
I'm on the road.
No.
So.
You just, I was going to say you cut out and I thought it was my phone. So
I don't know whose phone it is, but what we're going to do is hopefully make the best out of this moment. So, Chris, as I get back on the highway, tell me who you are and what you do.
Yeah, well, first of all, Rusty, thank you very much for having me on tonight. It's an honor and privilege to be on your show, and it's interesting you're going to talk about, you know, gluten and living, you know, a gluten-free conference. I must admit I'm happy I don't actually suffer from any food allergies that would force me to go gluten-free, but I must admit that, you know, I've experienced definitely a change since I've actually added some gluten-free products into my, you know, into my diet, and I definitely am out looking for them. So regardless of what some of the scientists say, that it doesn't matter for people who don't have the allergies, I know I feel better. So great job on going to speak at that conference, and, you know, good luck for that. Good luck with that. My mission in life is to inspire, empower, and transform other people's lives. I'm a performer and a keynote speaker by trade, and part of the reason why I'm so passionate about inspiring, empowering, and transforming others' lives is because I know what can happen when you don't have that, when you don't have that voice in your life. I also know what can happen when you don't find your zero point and find that thing in your life that you're supposed to do. And I know how much you can lose by not knowing what you're supposed to do here in the limited time that we have on Earth. And I say that because, you know, I went through a time where I thought I knew what I was supposed to do. I've lost pretty much everything, and it's only through rediscovering what I was really supposed to do that I'm back on the track to success and to the thriving life I'm supposed to have.
So what's really interesting, I think, about your story, because I was able to reconnect. As you know, I have thousands of people that want to be on the show, and I'm really, really honored and blessed, but it's really overwhelming because it's just me. I had an assistant for a while, but like you, I've had to start fresh from scratch, from basically the bottom. And what I find most intriguing about this new birth, so to speak, is that I just feel good. I feel so much better than I did before. Do you find that now that you're recreating, reinventing, and moving forward in your new purpose?
Yeah, exactly. And the beautiful part, Rusty, is that when you find your zero point, when you find that thing that's inside of you, that thing that was imprinted on your DNA from the time you were born, it's an amazing change, because we can go throughout our life. I mean, you know, Rusty, my voice still might sound young, but I mean, I've been on and off the stage for almost 40 years now, and it's amazing that when you rediscover that zero point, and when you lock into it and you live to, through, and within it, even if success doesn't come at the turn of a switch, what does come very quickly is that feeling that I'm finally in the right place, I'm accepted, I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, and I can deal much better with the stress, the frustration, the challenges, the roadblocks, and everything else that goes along with living in the society, in this world that we live in right now.
And I find it intriguing when you and I know very wholeheartedly that you have to go through this reinvention, you have to recreate yourself, you have to remold yourself, because we're just students in life. We're learning and we're growing, and it's okay to make mistakes, and that's what makes us beautiful. And my audience is so probably a little tired of me saying that almost every show, but really embracing and accepting that that's part of our path, I think, allows us to come from that zero point, as you call it, and move forward in a trajectory that's actually productive and successful for what you're supposed to be doing on this planet, whatever that may be. Some of us, God likes to just take a cosmic 2x4 and whack us a few times, and then we go, oh, okay, I hear you now, I got it. Okay, Mother Man, have another.
I was going to say, Rusty, you must have heard some of my talks, because I talk about the feather and the 2x4 all the time. You know, it's interesting because what God will do is He will tickle you. You know, when you're in the wrong direction, He's a nice God. He likes to have a lot of fun. He loves when His children laugh, so He tickles you. And when you ignore it, yeah, exactly. And when you ignore it, He says, okay, we're going to tickle you a couple more times, and if you're really going in the wrong direction, then you're just going to get the 2x4 out, and he's going to whack you upside the head. And, when people first hear that, they're really taken back and say, well, God's not a mean God. He's not going to. It's like, no, He's not doing it to be mean. He's doing it because you're not listening to what's going on throughout your life. You know, like, I'll give you my example. Like I said, I've been on off the stage for the last 40 years, and I had taken a detour from doing this back, geez, it's 25 years ago now. And when I say took a detour from doing it professionally, took a detour from living and doing it with a purpose, with a passion, living the lifestyle. And I eventually ended up in information technology. I eventually ended up in information technology, which, you know, the one thing, and I'm going to digress for one quick second. One of the things that I've learned over my life is that God gives you 1 0-point, but he also gives you a few skills and a few things that you could do and a few things that you love to do. You know, my three happen to be performing like I am right now, and that's my 0-point. That's what he put me here to do. But then I was also blessed with the skills and ability of a pretty decent bowler. In fact, I've bowled on television and I've received some awards over my career, so that was a blessing. But he also gave me the skill for IT and computers. And what happened in my family was they thought that the IT and the computer industry is where I was supposed to be. So they pushed me in that direction and didn't really nurture the other end. So in other words, they weren't listening to, you know, I believe they weren't really listening to what God's plan was. They just kind of had their own plan, which is what 98% of families do anyway. They just, you know,
right.
Families have their own plan for their kids, and it's all good. And it's interesting because, you know, now that I'm back doing this, in my journey to get back here, I lost my way and my path, and I started to believe that I was meant to be an information technology, and more specifically an information technology leader the rest of my life.
Right.
And then I stopped listening. So that's where the first problem came in, is I stopped listening. And I would always struggle to get to the next level of things, even though I was a decent leader, even though I was investing in myself and I was doing everything that people said you should do. Even when it made perfect sense, I was struggling to get to that next level. So those were my feathers. You know, it was kind of like, look, you're not going in the right direction. I'm just going to nudge you here, and you're not going to have too much pain, but I'm going to nudge you and try and get you to change direction. Well, when I didn't listen, I was laid off twice within the span of 2 years. That was one of my first 2x4s. That was kind of, whoosh, you know, okay, kid, now we're going to make this really painful for you. The next set of 2x4s, because I got a thick skull at sometimes, Rusty. Some points, Rusty, I got a thick skull, and it just doesn't get through.
I did too. Thick skull, so, thick mouth.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, we're a lot. We got to talk after this. We're a lot alike here, Rusty. You know, and this is how I throw it. Yeah. So the interesting thing that happened is that when I tried to get back into information technology as a career and as my main goal, I was always stopped at the final round. I was always stopped at that final round interview. That was my next set of 2x4s.
Isn't
then
that
I joined
interesting
John Maxwell.
That that happens? Joe, I just want to pause you for a second because
sure.
I want people to really hear that there are so many of us out there, I call us light bearers, that are trying to really explain and express and give a gift of understanding. And when you go to your comfort zone and you stay in your comfort zone but you're really not comfortable, you try to get out of that comfort zone a little bit. And maybe the first or second time, you know, you kind of fail and you start feeling uncomfortable with that. But when you try to go back to your comfort zone and you're being rejected, talk to us about that, because that within itself is a pivotal moment for many people, and they don't actually hear what it is. They just feel like, I hear excuses, oh, I'm too old, oh, I'm a woman, oh, I'm a single parent, or, you know, there's like a whole plethora of excuses, but when, and actuality is the fact that the universe is aligning with your passion, and your passion isn't that. You're just falling back into this comforting place that didn't work for you in the first place, or you wouldn't have left it.
Exactly, and yeah, I'll be happy to touch on that for a moment. It's interesting, because I used a lot of excuses. You know, I was a senior director for a Fortune 500 company, so I had attained a very good level of success. So I would use the excuse that, well, they're just laying off management at my level. And then I would use the excuse that nobody's hiring, because this was 2009, 2010, when the economy was bad.
I was part of the infrastructure
so there was
technology blow down, too.
We got to talk after this, Rusty.
We got to
have an offline talk after this. We'll have the Light Bearers X IT conference, and we'll get everybody together, and we'll tell them why. Yep. So, so for me, I kept making all those excuses, and I didn't look for anything else. I just kept, you know, and I was married at the time, and my wife has since left me, and I'll explain that story in a second. So you know, I kept using all the excuses, and even though I was a student of personal growth, and I've been studying John Maxwell and Tony Robbins and everybody for years, even I fell into the it's somebody else. I'm not going to look inside me and find out what's going on and what's going wrong. So then I finally got wind of the John Maxwell team, and John Maxwell is starting a coaching, teaching, public speaking certification program. I joined him as a founding partner. And in the beginning, I used it to better myself. And even at that point, I said, look, people will see I'm investing in myself, and they will then hire me. I wasn't, it was not to start a business and to get back into what, you know, what I'm doing today. After a few months, I said, okay, this is what I need to do as a business. I'm finally finding my calling. And my I didn't even know it was my zero point at the time, because that's a concept and a discovery that I've made, and that, you know, it's kind of the you know, I'm the originator of that, of finding that concept, of discovering that concept and understanding it. So it was an interesting journey, because at the beginning, once I said, okay, I'm going to make this a business, I start off as a coach, and I did some coaching, and I still thought I was meant to teach people leadership, and this is the point I want to get to. I came from being a leader to thinking I was meant to teach people leadership as the first thing, because I was still in my old mindset, and I didn't realize that what I was meant to do was inspire, empower, and transform people's lives, and then if they were meant to be leaders, to give them great leadership skills as the secondary teaching and as a secondary skill set. Now that I've uncovered that and uncovered my zero point, it's just been an amazing transformation, and to watch the doors open and to watch things happen much, much differently.
And what's beautiful about that transformation is that's a real kick in the backside, especially when you have been in a leadership position. And I can tell you, I'm a stubborn old goat. I'm Southern. I'm stubborn. I'm a redhead. And I will tell you, you're not bossing me around. I boss you around. And having that mindset switched after all those years is really humbling. Your ego really takes a good, in my case, it's my she-go, but it takes a good smack to get to a place where you actually can say, wow, you know, as much as I love being a leader, I want to teach this, maybe the reason why I'm not in a leadership role is because I'm not ready to be a leader, and I have to teach myself, right?
Yeah, there are definitely times where leaders are managers and not leaders, and they don't excel because they're managing and not leading, and they don't realize they have to learn how to lead themselves first before they can lead others. It's interesting because in my case, I've done a lot of soul searching, and I question my own leadership at times. And I know I was a bad leader at some points, and in a lot of cases, I was a really good leader. But what I found is that leaders will sometimes get in the mode, and they think they're only ever meant to be leaders, and they're only ever meant to teach leadership, and they don't realize that there's something they can be much more effective at. You know, it's kind of like, I'll give you a great example. If anybody has ever seen the movie Office Space, you know, the premise of the movie Office Space is these technology workers end up getting really upset with their company. They create this virus that steals what they think is going to be pennies, and it turns out to be $300,000. And in the end, basically they all lose their jobs, go to different companies. But one guy, who actually seemed to be, even though he played a little dumb, seemed to be kind of smart as far as technology space in the movie, ended up being an outdoor, like a recovery specialist, I'll call it. It's a guy who goes in and cleans up after fires and everything. And they say, look, we can get you, his buddies come up and say, we can get you a job at where we're working now. And he says, you know what? I'm really happy with this. I like what I'm doing. Here's the reason I bring up that story. There's a lot of people in leadership today who think they need to be leaders for one reason or another, yet they're meant to do something completely different. or at least they're meant to have a different type of business, that sort of thing. And they're scared to do it because they're scared of not being that leader anymore. I know part of it was, part of my challenge, my detour, is I was bullied as a kid. So what I didn't realize, and I'm going to make this really short, and this is a topic I expand much greater on in my keynote, but the short version is what led me to be a leader and think leadership first was that I was bullied as a kid, and my brain associated with being a leader, with being able to control people and being able to stop from being bullied. And what I never realized, and what I never realized was that as a leader, you're actually more in the line of fire than the wimp getting bullied. Like I was the wimp getting bullied. You're actually more in the line of fire than the kids getting bullied, because when the kids are getting bullied, yeah, there's maybe four or five kids that are bullying you. But when you are number one and you're the leader, everybody is out there trying to knock off you or your company. You know, there's a reason why there's you know, 100 different social networks out there trying to knock off Facebook, because and when they talk about things, they're going after specifically Facebook. So my logic was even flawed, but because I developed that logic as a kid, I didn't realize that.
Interesting. So we have about 9 minutes left of the show, and I definitely want to talk to you about how do you suggest or offer advice to individuals who need to be forward-thinking and really sit back with themselves and have that inner alignment with what they're doing to make the appropriate adjustments moving forward in their lives.
Yeah, and the really short version is that if you're unhappy, unsatisfied, unfulfilled with where you are, you need to start to look for and find your zero point. And the simplest way in a short time I can tell you how to do that is you go back and you find your first vivid visual positive memory. And when you find that first vivid visual positive memory, that kind of provides your Rosetta Stone, your keystone, your touchstone for uncovering your zero point and for starting to understand where you need to go in the future. Because once you understand the past and once you understand what's inside of you, you can match it up and correlate it with the present and then plan out the future that's going to lead to your success.
Very cool. What did you want to be as a child?
That's interesting. My original thing, it's interesting because I have to pause for a second before I answer that question. My original thing that I thought I was going to be was a professional bowler. It was the best sport. It was the thing I was the best at. I was better than all the rest of the kids. It was the best sport I played. Interestingly enough, because I was bullied, you know, it all makes sense now, because I was bullied and I found something I was better than everybody else at, I gravitated towards that. But my first vivid visual positive memory was of preschool when I was in a play. I played this wizard. It was something about a magic oven. All I remember is a classmate of mine and I made this magic oven in my basement. I was the wizard. I said something. I waved a magic wand and cotton balls came out. Now think about that for a second. It's not like I'm in my teens or 20s. That's a memory from about probably 3 to 4 years old, maybe five, in that range, 3 to 5, and I can still tell you where it happened, what it was like, what was going on. That's when you know you've got the key. So it's something that, like I said, the answer to what I thought I wanted to be was a professional bowler. The answer to what was inside and what I was really meant to be was what we're doing today.
And that's co-inspiring, co-creating, reconnecting people to a different school of thought, and maybe even a school of thought that we originally had as children, and it was safe and comfortable and beautiful. But unfortunately, as we grow older, we're affected in a very different way by our environment, by our expectations, by people's expectations, and by our own fear-based thinking that we develop over the years.
Exactly. What happens to us is when we're young, when we're 3 to 5, we know what our wiring is, our mental wiring. We know what our zero point is. It comes out every single day. It's the thing that most families complain about because you do every single day. And what happens is over your life, it gets covered up, it gets masked over, and it gets, whether it's with masking tape or cement, and it eventually is so deeply hidden that the majority of people don't find it. And I will tell you this, the people who have found it are the ones that you all hear about. Like, let me give you an example. I'm going to give you some people that have found their zero point, and when I say it's going to make perfect sense, and it's going to be a shame if they had done anything else. You've got Richard Branson, you've got Steve Jobs, and you've got Bill Gates. They were meant to run major corporations. They were meant to be visionaries. They were meant to stretch our minds and our pocketbooks at some point, but they were meant to do that, and they were meant to push our world forward in that way. Now I'm going to give you some people who were servant leaders. You think of Mother Teresa. So you think of Mahatma Gandhi, think of Nelson Mandela, and think of Martin Luther King. If any of those four people would not have realized they were meant to be servant leaders and would have thought maybe they were meant to be billionaires and they were meant to be business people, our world would be completely different right now. I mean, you know, Nelson Mandela, apartheid. I mean, you know, overcoming that, Mother Teresa, the sick and the poor, you know, Martin Luther King Jr., putting forth the equal rights movement. It's just amazing to look back at our history. Those special people who find what they're supposed to do and who find, you know, their zero point and live to it and accept it, because that's one of the things that, and for those of us in the personal growth industry, it's difficult to grasp onto this concept that we're actually freeing people, and I said freeing, by having them accept their zero point versus fighting against it and going out and banging their head against the wall and trying to be anything that they want to be. I believe people can be anything they want to be once they find their zero point and they live within their zero point and their wiring. And the beautiful point is all it takes is a readjustment of what you define as success. And once you do that, you have more success, more happiness, more confidence, more peace in your life. And in the end, that's why we all fight for success, because we want that happiness, that peace, that confidence in our life.
Well, and the question is, what really is success? And I think we have contorted that concept into something that is vanity and all of these things. I don't believe is what true success is. I believe true success is finding yourself, serving, and really embracing the standards of sharing this planet with each other and embracing yourself as an individual and a human. To me, that's success. That's the ultimate success. What is your definition of success?
Yeah, my definition of success is living within your zero point and having a happy, confident, self-fulfilled life that you were meant to have. And that's the key. Is the beautiful part is everybody has a different definition. I've known people who I know people who run multi-million or multi-billion dollar companies, and they're successful in their own right, and they're very, very happy, and they found what they're meant to do. I also know people who sit there and run very small businesses and are happy and content. I know people who have absolutely no money and are happy and content and peaceful because they're making a difference in their, you know, in their own way. And that's the beautiful part is, and that's what that, you know, that's what you're, I think that's really the what humanity, in my opinion, humanity should be struggling for their own individual definition of success and realize that once they hit it, happiness, success, confidence, and a fulfilled life is the end result.
So we have about 60 seconds left of the show. I want people to be able to reach out to you and contact you and learn more about you. So you have about 30 seconds to do that and then 15 to tell us what the one thing is that you would like the whole entire world to take away from tonight's show.
Okay, just head out to my website, chrismsprague.com. Once again, chrismsprague.com. If you're a coach, click on the Professional Practice Builder Society. You'll get more information about that. And the one thing I don't want to leave that I want the whole world to know is find your zero point and you'll find your true happiness.
And true happiness is what it's all about. But it's so exciting getting to that point where you finally find it, that discovery.
Yes, it
Chris,
is.
I,
and it's, you know, it's kind of...
Go ahead. I was just going to say, we have about 15 seconds left. I am so grateful that we were able to connect. And I look forward to talking to you again as you grow, as you inspire, as you create. And thank you so much. Big hugs to you and yours.
You're welcome, Rusty. Thanks. Big hugs to you and yours. And I love to talk to you more offline. And, you know, you're doing a great job with the show. And keep it up. You know, I look forward to hearing more great things from you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. You're listening to Living and Thriving with Rusty. And guess what? I'm Rusty, and we're living and thriving today. We get to walk this path together, learning about so many unique people who are doing such wonderful and beautiful things in their life to inspire themselves and others, to motivate themselves and others, to create, co-inspire, and co-create to make this planet just a little bit better of a place. How exciting. Today has been such a spiritually, emotionally, and mentally fulfilling day. I just wish every day was as beautiful. And all the smiles that I've seen today just filled me with such a huge joy. Know that I love you. Know that you're beautiful. Know that you mean the world to me. And without you, this show would not be as much fun, I can tell you that. So thank you for coming on this journey. And until Wednesday at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, be beautiful and smile. It's the best contagion.